Imagine you are sitting anxiously in the examination room, waiting for your doctor to come back with test results. You came in for a simple checkup, but the doctor insisted on doing more in-depth tests. What you thought would be a routine checkup has turned into something more. You hear the doorknob turn and realize that within the next 30 seconds, you will be told some very important news. And that's when he says it. You have cancer. These three words are life-changing. You never saw it coming. You never thought it could happen to you. All of your hopes and dreams seem to slip away, and visions of hospital beds and needles fill your head. As you feel like the walls are closing in on you, you realize that there are a lot of things you need to take into consideration regarding your future. New diets, new medications, it all seems unattainable. It's hard for you to imagine what life is like as a cancer patient. As you collect your thoughts, the doctor brings something to your attention: treatment options. You have never had to make a decision like this before. My mother, Judy Bartosik, is an oncology nurse at Northwest Oncology and Hematology and has been working there for the past 20 years. She administers treatments to patients daily and knows everything there is to know about treatment.
The different treatment options for cancer patients are surgery, chemotherapy, immunotherapy, and hormonal therapy.
Okay. How does a patient know which treatment to choose, and do they have more of a choice, or is it in the doctor's hands?
When the patient comes in to see the doctor will review several different treatment options. He will go through the survival statistics and the side effects of each treatment. The doctor will then tell the patient which treatment has been shown to have the best overall survival. But ultimately, the patient decides which treatment to have. We do have...
But of course, no two cancers are the same, so no two treatments are the same. Cancer affects everyone in a unique way, so treatment must be given accordingly.
Aside from the type and stage of the cancer that the patient has, the doctor takes into consideration all of the patient's comorbidities and their overall performance status. A patient's age, you would think, oh, a young patient is going to do fantastic, but just because somebody is young does not mean that they're in a good state of general health. We can have an 80-year-old who is much healthier than a 50-year-old. So you take a look at the patient's lab work, make sure all their body systems are working at peak capacity before starting, and then the doctor will go from there.
As you take in all this new information, you realize that this will be a very long process. It won't just happen overnight. It will take many years for the cancer to have even a chance of disappearing. But don't give up hope. There is one other factor that can enhance your treatment's productivity. Having cancer has a tremendous impact on your diet. Your diet works hand in hand with the treatments you receive. Most foods that you would eat on a daily basis must be cut out of your diet. Christy Graywin has been a dietitian for 5 years, and she specializes in helping cancer patients maintain a steady and healthy weight. The meal plan she constructs focuses on two things: high-calorie foods and the neutropenic diet. I know what you're thinking. High-calorie foods? Wouldn't that hurt you more than it would help you? I myself thought the same thing. It turns out that there is a crucial reason for this.
We just try and make sure that they're eating, just calorie-dense food that can help keep their weight up, because that's one of the biggest things we want, is for them, their weight to stay steady, because fluctuation in weight can cause some issues with their treatments.
Working hand-in-hand with a high-calorie diet is the neutropenic diet. Not only is this diet healthy, but it also works with your immune system to ensure you don't get sick during treatment.
We do like to encourage is following a neutropenic diet, which basically means because they have a low white blood cell count, we don't want them eating anything that is going to potentially give them a foodborne illness. So anything like raw fruits and veggies, undercooked meats, anything that could potentially carry, you know, germs that would make things worse for them, we do like them to stick with, you know, safer food so they don't get sick on top of what they're already dealing with. The only other thing, too, during treatment is we like to kind of have them avoid kind of their favorite foods, only because if they are going to, you know, get sick because of treatment, we don't want them to correlate eating their favorite food to making them sick so that when treatment's over, they don't want to eat it again.
This diet applies to almost all types of cancers, but research is constantly being conducted to test the effects certain foods can have on cancer. For example, there has been research done that suggests that soy products are bad for cancer patients, but other research indicates that there is no relation. Although new evidence is being found every day about food and its relation to cancer, you ultimately have the final decision in choosing your diet, and you should make the decision based off what you think is right. Take 67-year-old stage 3 breast cancer patient Grace Calabrese, for example. Mrs. Calabrese preferred not to be recorded for privacy reasons, but she was willing to disclose any information with us that we needed. She was diagnosed 3 years ago and believes she still has a lot of time left on this earth. When asked about how she chose her diet, she said that she went along with whatever the doctor recommended because she believes he knows best. She says that, along with the neutropenic diet, she also takes it upon herself to remain active by taking walks almost daily with her husband, Larry. She comes in to receive chemotherapy every other week. Trying to maintain a positive demeanor for the past 3 years hasn't been easy, she said, but seeing every round of chemo and every dietary restriction as a blessing is what keeps her going. Of course, Mrs. Calabrese's case is special because not everybody is as optimistic as she is, but she is a prime example of how attitude is just as important as treatments and diet. After taking a closer look into the life of a cancer patient, I hope you realize that cancer isn't just another disease. Each patient requires a very unique approach to their treatment, and doctors and nurses focus their careers on providing the best care for these people. I hope that what I have told you opens your eyes to what cancer demands from its sufferers and how it impacts your life more than you think. Thank you for joining me and taking a closer look into what it really means to live the life of a cancer patient.